Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 19th year. This podcast is sponsored by ICE Barcelona, January 20th through 22nd, 2025, at the Fira Barcelona Gran Via. ICE Barcelona is the complete platform to drive revenues through innovative solutions, technology, valuable insights, and unrivaled networking opportunities. To learn more, visit icegaming.com.
My guest today is Hugh Turner, the Chief Financial Officer at Ocean Casino in Atlantic City. Hugh, it's great to be with you for a while here. We haven't ever hooked up during the years, but you have a lot of history here in Atlantic City, and it's great to be able to talk to somebody who has that history.
I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great. So Ocean Casino is such a success. You know, it hasn't always been. I was in this building when it was just bare. There was no walls, and Kevin DeSantis was showing me around, and I was impressed back then, and I continue to be impressed, and I'm glad that it's really successful. So you were working for Borgata for almost 20 years. Before that, you had some other experience with Harrah's. And
right.
So what's it like to be able to come into a casino like Ocean with all that Atlantic City background?
I think it, certainly prepared me, mm-hmm. For my current role. And I think in a way, it's a little bit like the early days of mm-hmm. Borgata when Boyd was involved.
Sure.
And, you know, we have owners, like, you know, we did at Borgata with sure. Boyd and MGM, but we are kind of like a one-store location,
sure.
almost like a mm-hmm. single operation, and most of the decisions, and especially the operational decisions, are all made within these four walls.
Right.
So we have a team that I'm familiar with, they're familiar with me, and it was... great timing on coming over here for mm-hmm. me, and it just operates, very much like a, one store property.
Sure. And so you coming over here with your Atlantic experience, I guess you could really dig into the analytics of the property.
Right. I pretty much went right back to work. I was sitting on the sidelines for about 16 months,
mm-hmm.
but it was easy to get back into the swing of things. And, there was a great team over here.
Sure.
Everyone pretty much has the same philosophy, and dug into the numbers, had pretty short learning curve, mainly because I had done it before.
Sure.
And I had to get used to some new systems and some new, co-workers, but a lot of them I had worked with before, so it was an easy transition.
Sure, absolutely. So, the numbers are obviously really important in any property, and especially in a standalone property like this.
Mm-hmm.
So how far back did you go when you were looking at the market and the people who showed up, their demographics, that kind of thing? Did you just go back a couple of years, or did you go back even to when it was Revel?
Yeah, so I mean, I had followed Revel pretty
sure.
closely ever since it was, because we saw them as a, competitor.
Sure.
And Atlantic City was going to be a brand new property, similar to what the Borgata was, a brand new market entrant. So I was had a pretty good familiarity with the market and the property. But I think due to COVID, I only went back to probably the early period post COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And just look at the numbers, and of course they dramatically changed
sure.
from
right.
Pre-COVID. That was one of the points of demarcation, I would say. This property coming out of COVID is really when it started to, to rise in terms of, gross gaming revenue and then eventually profitability. But, I jumped on the train at a good point.
Yeah.
It was profitable and starting to fire on all cylinders.
Yeah. So tell me how you work with the marketing department. Marketing obviously is a huge part of the success
mm-hmm.
of this property. When it started to come back, I mean, I think it caught the competitors flat-footed in the rest of the town. But how do you work with the marketing department when you bring them the numbers?
Well, I think there's a little bit of give and take on each side.
Mm-hmm.
They put out a schedule of promotions and events, and then we constantly post event. There's a lot of analysis
sure,
that's
right.
done to look at how many people responded, who were they, we even look before and after those trips, because you're always looking for what is that incremental benefit.
Sure,
like
right.
what did you gain by doing that promotion or event, and did it really drive business and ultimately drive profitability? But you know, we share information back and forth. Mm-hmm. I'm included in their planning meetings. I'm included in their database reviews. And then we all look at the numbers daily and try and, you know, if we see any trends developing, good or bad, we communicate. So it's a good thing about everyone being in the same four walls.
Sure.
We see each other every day. You know, we talk, we text. A lot of people are around on the weekends at this property, which is nice to kind of see and feel the business, and just a very open dialogue.
Sure.
Between, we're not kind of, you know, there's, I guess the early days of finance, sometimes the marketing department wasn't always looked upon as
right.
the friend of finance, and at least for getting information and making sure we had all the right
mm-hmm.
expenses on the books, and you know, do we cover the TV, you know, airtime cost this
sure.
month?
Yeah.
Do we have it on the books or not? But I think that, I think the communication is really good here. And I think it helps that, you know, we're all at the same,
right.
same
sure.
home department, home location.
So when they come up with an idea for a promotion, say, and you know, get you involved,
mm-hmm.
you sometimes say, well, I don't think that's a great idea, or show them the budget where they've got to hit the mark completely to really be successful.
I think everybody's pretty much aware of their budget. And I think if it was something that kind of ran close to the edge on regulations or something, we would certainly say something. But
sure.
I think that, you know, there's a lot of creative minds mm-hmm. that we work with. And, you know, we're not going to kind of practice marketing without a license on that
yeah.
side. But
yeah.
certainly if something went off and it didn't produce the results or meet the objective that was stated ahead of time, you know, we'd have a conversation about it. And I think more times than not, though, we're all on the same wavelength.
Sure, sure. So we've got a lot of clients that work with us in GGB, and they're the gifting companies. And
mm-hmm.
I always find that really fascinating, you know, how you decide what to give away, and then on your side, you know, what's the result of the incremental
mm-hmm.
revenue that comes from that? So how do you make those decisions?
I think you just look at the response that you get.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, most of the time the responses are good. You've got to provide those types of events for
mm-hmm.
customers. It differs on the market. You know, different gifts are targeted at certain customer demographics
right.
and all, and you can do a high end or low end. And, you know, Atlantic City has a very savvy customer base.
Sure,
so,
that
and I think,
question, yeah.
I think you want to have kind of a diverse offering, and you want to make sure they're coming to your property
right.
when you want them to come, and they're not being distracted to go somewhere else. And it's a, I think, you know, our team's got a really good feel for that.
Sure.
And we do, you know, kind of a bunch of diverse events, all kinds of gifts from all over the spectrum.
I was in a casino yesterday, and I saw people walking around with waffle makers. And I thought that was kind of a strange gift, but everybody had them. They were playing slots with the waffle maker on the chair next to them. So I guess that worked for the
right.
casino. You know?
Right. If it drives that visit,
right.
And you know, the key is, you know, would they have made that visit? If you know, would they have come here if you didn't have a waffle maker?
Sure.
To
right.
pick up? And that's always the age-old question you're trying to answer.
Mm-hmm. So we mentioned this as a standalone property. You've worked for Borgata, which was owned both at
mm-hmm.
one point by both Boyd and MGM.
Right.
And then you worked for Harrah's before that. All big corporations with lots of casinos. So what's the difference between working at a CFO at a standalone property like this and something, you know, where you have to answer to even higher financial people in the hierarchy?
Yeah, it's different. I think there's you know, benefits and drawbacks to both. I think that at a standalone property is a little more nimble, you
mm-hmm.
know, mainly because, you know, you have to go through less layers to, you know, make a decision.
Sure.
But then, you know, I really liked working for a larger company in my younger days.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more opportunities for growth and advancement. I actually worked at Harry's, and this is going to date me a little bit, but I worked with Harry's when they had four properties, one on the East Coast and the ones in Nevada.
Right.
And so I kind of saw that evolve.
Right.
I left right before they merged with Caesars.
Yeah.
So I've kind of seen it both ways. So there's, you know, advantages and disadvantages to both.
Sure.
I liked coming back to Ocean as kind of a smaller company.
Sure, absolutely. So I was recently talking to a CFO, and he had just changed jobs, and he was complaining about they do a whole different way. You know, the systems are different. I mean, how do you accommodate that when you go into a property and they use different software, I guess, and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I've been through a few different especially casino system conversions, but over the years, you know, payroll systems, HR systems, accounting systems, it's definitely disruptive. You just have to put the time in to learn what, you know, the differences are. They're all trying to accomplish the same thing. They might use different terminology or different reports. You may use different tools, but I've always kind of, enjoyed the experience of learning something new. It's a kind of another thing you can put on your resume, and ultimately, you'll figure it out.
Sure.
But you also got to invest a little bit of time, I guess, just to get to know things. But I think that, the important thing about the systems is that you want it to be least disruptive for the least amount of time for your customers.
Sure.
And then, the back of the house generally comes together pretty quickly, too.
Great. So I was on a radio show with my friend Scott Cronick last week, and we were talking about the split between non-gaming and the gaming revenue, and I know in Vegas on the Strip it's 70% non-gaming, so they don't depend on the casino as much as they used to, and I always thought in Atlantic City it was the opposite, not quite 30-70, but 40-60, but I just saw the numbers, the second quarter numbers come out last week, and did a little math, and I'm not really good at numbers, but I did it anyway, and it seems to be almost a 50-50 split now. And I'm surprised that has happened over the years, and it's good news for Atlantic City, obviously, but why do you think that's happening?
Yeah, so there's a few things in play here. First of all, for the last couple of years, the casino revenue has been flat to declining.
Right.
And the other side of that is you're seeing some really good growth on the food and beverage side. I think in Atlantic City, there's so many choices now, casino restaurants, different brands have come in, celebrity chefs, and that's really been on the rise. I think, look back a little bit, post-COVID is when the other thing that's in play is the online gaming.
Right.
A lot of the land-based casinos have partnered with other online operators, or also known as skins, and so some of that revenue is going into that other revenue category, some of the minimum revenue guarantees. So that's pumped it up a little bit. But and then I guess lastly, between Ocean and Hard Rock especially, there's a lot of entertainment going
on.
Hard Rock's kind of the one that offers, more of the high end because they have the largest venue in town. But those things are driving up the other revenue. Food and beverage is growing. So, I was surprised myself when I looked.
Yeah.
It is getting very close.
Yeah, and it's good news that it's close, but it's kind of bad news that the land-based revenue is flatter or declining a little bit. So,
yeah, the only other thing I'll mention without getting too far into the, accounting nerd weeds is that back in, I think it was 2018, there was no accounting standard that required that your gaming revenue is netted against the cost of promotional things like slot free play and comps and things like that. So that went into effect in 2018. And if you look back at the older income statements, you'll notice that line, promotional allowances, which used to be deducted before you got the net revenues, that went away.
Yeah.
So most of those promotional allowances, which is a negative number, that goes against gaming revenue. So that brought the gaming revenue down when you start reporting it net. But you know, hasn't it's been in place since 18. So
yeah,
that's another great kind of factor.
So you mentioned online casinos. Ocean Casino has an online casino. It's been increasing, you know, quite a bit every month. I think you're around 20% every month for that I've looked back. How is that impacting the in-person revenue?
It's not really having a negative effect on
it.
In fact, you know, our philosophy is to introduce online customers into the you know, live gaming environment, and I think that and I don't believe it's really impacted anyone in town negatively. I think the you know, the in-person gamblers looking for a social experience, they're not happy with just the online.
Right.
Some of them will play both, but certainly hasn't, I don't believe it's been harmful to the you know, the in-person customer.
Do you use things like bonuses, you know, a free room at the casino to the online?
They work that in. They work that into the kind of
reward program.
Yeah, because
that's all linked together.
Just to drive a property visit is, you know, one of the objectives of the operation.
Does Ocean have any skins?
Yes. Yeah, Ocean, I guess we partner with about four other skins.
Okay.
And you know, they are able to utilize our license, and then we do all the you know, revenue accounting and reporting and tax returns.
Sure, absolutely. So you mentioned entertainment also. Entertainment is always a big part of a casino, although some Atlantic City casinos don't seem to understand that. But certainly you guys at Hard Rock do. Yeah, I mean, you've got all the top stars. I mean, we got a listing of some of the people who, you know, who have been here. I mean, got Lenny Kravitz coming in, Brad Paisley, David Spade, you know, Morrissey. I mean, there's some really top names. And, so how do you, you know, evaluate the success of those artists when they come to Ocean, and then, you know, the gambling impact they have?
Right. So we look at the whole property. You know, we always look at the casino, but we're also looking at food and beverage, the hotel. We look at the value it brings to the whole property. And we also look at, you know, card signups.
Right.
Because, you know, the lineup that you just mentioned hits a lot of different, you know, genres, and we're looking for a diverse offering. And a lot of times we see new people that have never been to the property before, and that's one of the objectives of entertainment too. And besides that, it's just the kind of the energy that it brings, you know, to the, you know, Friday or Saturday night, just to have that many people in the building. I think it's a good atmosphere even for the folks that aren't attending the show. It just brings that kind of aura of excitement.
Well, you've got a great entertainment director in Steve Gekka. Steve really understands the industry, you know, and he's got some great connections with the artists as well. So that's probably great. So, how about HQ? I mean, obviously, I saw the billboard on the way in the other day.
Right.
You've got some great DJs, even though I don't know what they do, but but they, I know they cost a lot of money to bring in. So. How do you evaluate then that? I guess a lot of that is a food and beverage in HQ, right?
Right, but it also brings a different demographic to the property. And same thing, like with the, you know, with the, you know, the beach club during the day, the nightclub at night. And again, we're bringing a lot of people, introducing them to the property if they hadn't been here before, and brings a lot of energy, and it just, you know, creates another reason for a hotel stay or a meal before or a meal after.
Sure, great.
The other thing I mentioned with the entertainment is, besides the headliners, we've had some very successful shows over the summer season that have been on Sunday nights, and we're getting some really good guest counts in there too. And, you know, they run every weekend, mainly on Sundays, and really good response this year.
Sure. Well, another aspect of this property, you've got some great meeting and convention space. How is that working out in terms of, again, bringing those people in as gamblers? Or do you shoot for groups that have a gambling propensity?
Not so much. I think we use, you know, that type of business. Just their season goes, you know, it kind of heats up in the fall.
Sure,
and then it kind of... some of it peaks around the holidays and all. And then again, convention season in the spring is a big season for them, which is kind of, you know, our shoulder season outside of the holidays. And it's a good way to sell hotel rooms.
Sure.
And again, it introduces a lot of people to the property that may not have been here. And it's definitely a growing segment for us.
Yeah, and then people come here, and even if they don't gamble, they swim in the pool. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, you've got a magnificent pool area as well, and so I guess exposing people to the casino through that avenue really helps bring that back.
Right, and it's you know, great business at times of the year that we typically don't see, like,
sure,
our highest demand.
All right, one more question. You know, your team here has done an incredible turnaround. When Revel went bankrupt, everybody thought this was that crazy Glenn Straub guy. He's gonna warehouse people here or something. But finally, some sensible people took over. But you know, ever since then, you've really become one of the top three casinos in the city. And what are you gonna do to continue that success rate?
I think it's we'll continue to enhance, you know, the customer experience here, and I would say stay tuned. We've got a lot of things that we'll be introducing, you know, over the next few years, and we'll continue to just kind of add to the experience, differentiate ourselves from, you know, the market, and continue to attract more and more visitors.
Great. Well, I hope that's happening. I know when this was built, there's room for a second tower, so that'd be great to see that if that came to fruition. But what you're doing here is really, really wonderful, and it really is an asset to Atlantic City. So congratulations on that, and hopefully we'll get to talk again.
Thanks. It was great talking with you.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast sponsored by ICE Barcelona, January 20th through 22nd, 2025 at Fira Barcelona Gran Via. ICE Barcelona is the complete platform to drive revenues through innovative solutions, technology, valuable insights, and unrivaled networking opportunities. To learn more, visit icegaming.com. To read more about the topic presented in this week's podcast, visit ggbmagazine.com. To subscribe to GGB's executive summary, go to ggbnews.com and sign up. Don't miss any edition of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Spotify, Amazon, or Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.